Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
Prepare your ears, humans. Happy, Sad, Confused begins now.
Today on Happy, Sad, Confused, Chris Hemsworth pushes himself to the limits with a new series on Disney Plus. Hey guys, I'm Josh Horowitz, and welcome to another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. All right, let me just deal with the elephant in the room. I know my voice sounds like crap. I sound, I think, worse than I am. Confronting a little cold. No, it's not COVID. Been taking the test. Don't you worry. The truth is, guys, I have been busy. If you follow me on social media, I feel like you probably have a sense of this. In the last week, let me see if I can even remember what I've done. Went to Los Angeles, hosted the press conference for Glass Onion, the new Knives Out movie. Hosted the red carpet for Glass Onion. Interviewed Anya Taylor-Joy. Came back to New York on the red eye. Interviewed Janelle Monáe for MTV. Did the first New York screening and hosted the panel for Damien Chazelle's Babylon with some little-known folks like Brad Pitt and Margot Robbie. Then I moderated the panel for Devotion with Jonathan Majors and Glenn Powell. And now I am barely upright. But I did talk to Chris Hemsworth yesterday, and that is now the main event on the podcast today. Now, I'm not saying all that. You're probably like, woe is me, Josh. You're hanging out with these amazing people. You're seeing these amazing movies. Just shut up. I get it. I sound obnoxious. I'm still tired. I need a rest. But good news is the holidays are coming. I hope you guys have great plans to take a break for the Thanksgiving holiday and recharge the batteries. I know that's on my agenda. And we're going to hit the ground running right after the holiday with a ton more amazing episodes. And let me get this out of the way too, some more live events in New York City. You can purchase your tickets to Adam Sandler, folks, November 29th at 92NY. We are screening his film Hustle, followed by a live Happy, Sad, Confused taping. That is going to be awesome. Then on December 8th, we have Mr. Kumail Nanjiani at 92NY. Again, another live taping of Happy, Sad, Confused. I believe we are going to show an episode of his new series, the Chippendale series. So a lot to talk about Kumail, about his very fascinating evolution as an actor, comic, performer, etc. So there'll be more to come too. We have at least one more, I think, in December that is going to knock your socks off. So stay tuned. All the information, as always, is in the show notes. Okay, you're probably here, though, not for all that other stuff. You're probably here for Mr. Chris Hemsworth, and of course you should be. This man is a genetic marvel. He's 9 feet tall. He's gorgeous and talented. If he weren't so nice, I would hate him, but he is super nice, and I've always enjoyed chatting with Chris, dating back to the first time we met when he was announced, not announced, but I guess he came out on stage at Comic-Con with the first trailer for Thor. I think that was 2010. Again, as always, one of these guys, fun to reminisce about the journey the last, in this case, dozen years. Chris is in a great place right now. He has a new series on Disney Plus from Nat Geo that I really dug. It's called Limitless, and it is basically about confronting the limits that we face in our lives. Can we push through? Can we live longer, healthier lives? What is the path to that? It comes from Darren Aronofsky, so you know it's going to be special. It's shot beautifully. It's really a cool show. We dig into a lot of it in this conversation. Plus talk, of course, about Thor, about the Star Trek movie that I still kind of hope happens with him returning, about Furiosa, which he just shot. A lot of talk about that in this. You're going to get your money's worth, I promise you. This conversation was hosted at the Paley Center in New York City. I love the Paley Center. We did a recent Happy Sad Confused taping with Colin Hanks there. I moderated an event over there for War of the Rings. It's a beautiful, fantastic space that you should check out if you're in New York City. They always have awesome events going on. So check it out. Paley Center, my big thanks to them for hosting this conversation. And hopefully we'll do many, many more. I think that's about it. I'm going to try to recover my voice for the next slew of conversations as we get into award season. Fear not, I will be back healthier than ever, here to amuse and entertain you. And let's get right to it, I guess. Here is the conversation with my favorite Chris, at least today. It changes depending on who I just spoke to. Chris Hemsworth on Happy, Sad, Confused. Please enjoy. Chris, it's been way too long, buddy. Congratulations.
It has. Thanks.
Yeah. Congratulations on still being alive after your new series.
Yep.
We're going to talk Limitless. We're going to talk about a bunch of things. First, let's reminisce for a second. I went back into my own small brain that exists. I think I met you 2010, Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, they actually cast Thor. Like, they just found Thor. When you think about the journey of the last dozen years, I don't know. I mean, does it feel like it's gone by in an instant, or does it feel like it's been 100 years since that time?
Both. It feels, on one hand, like it was last year, like it was yesterday. And then the other, it feels like it's all I've been doing for my entire life. And in the best way. You know, when something has that amount of detail and requires that amount of commitment and that amount of time, everything I've done is in comparison to that. And everything I do is parallel to it. You know, I can run off and do other films and other characters and so on, and then I come back to Thor. Right. And so it's been the driving sort of foundation through my career, and it's been amazing.
It's funny to think about, like, the different contexts I always, like, see you guys in, like, Comic-Cons or podcast studios or whatever. And I don't expect you to remember this. I think the second time I met you was at Sundance, and it was you and Liam, like, getting free snowboards, basically.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, we were there with Oakley, I think, or someone. That was the early days of fame, and like really just taking advantage of all the free kit they'd give you.
I was like, sick.
Free snowboards, sunglasses. I'm coming.
What's the weirdest free shit you've gotten over the years? What's the stuff that?
I mean, I've been sent some pretty random stuff. You know, I remember getting sent a shirt once, and I was like, oh, this is nice. I put it on, and I was like, kind of smells like it's been worn. And sure enough, there's some heavy B.O. scent.
Scented shirt?
Yeah, right under. No, someone had worn it.
Oh, I see.
It. Yeah.
Got secondhand.
It was a hand-me-down. And, good. Hey, no waste, I guess.
You can have the shirt off my back literally after this. I don't think we're just quite the same size.
We'll swap.
This show is amazing. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Limitless. So this is a new show. It's Nat Geo. It's on Disney+. You know it's not your run-of-the-mill reality show when it's not only you, but it's like Darren Aronofsky.
Mm.
Come on.
Like, yeah.
This is the way to do it.
Yeah.
Is this a pitch to you? Is this something you develop? Like, do they come to you and say, like, we want to try to kill you 6 weeks in a row? Like, what is this?
So Darren Aronofsky came to me probably going on 3 years now and said I want to do this doc series. It's about longevity, basically how to live a longer, better life. And we're going to put you through a series of different tests and challenges to test a lot of the emerging science around longevity. So there'll be an episode on shock, and we're going to throw you in the Arctic Ocean, and there's a stress episode, and we're going to walk across a beam on a skyscraper, fasting episode, acceptance of death, and a few others. And I was like, okay, different to anything I've done before, and sounds fascinating, and why not? We initially were supposed to shoot it over 3 or 4 weeks, and then due to COVID and different schedules and so on, the thing got pushed over about 2.5 years. So I'd be lying if I said I knew what the show was at the beginning versus what it became in a wonderful way. It was allowed to evolve constantly. We're adapting to different things that were changing constantly. but also my interest and my sort of commitment to it grew even more. And then Darren said, great, we're going to ramp this up and ramp that. And then just having more time to sit with each episode, we could flesh them out in greater detail. It was one of the best experiences I've had. It was, as you say before, they were, you know, the irony of it all was, in order to live longer, let's attempt to kill you. And so there was some pretty intense kind of stunts and situations I found myself in.
It has to be seen to be believed. I mean, you know that, like, first of all, this is a return to your roots, your reality roots, obviously Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, yeah,
this is
yeah.
True.
That was my real inspiration. I was like, I kind of raised the bar there and let's see if I can continue to
raise
it.
If you wanted to do reality.
Or lower the bar, I don't know.
No. If you wanted to do reality, you could have just done Living with the Hemsworth and become a billionaire. Like, that's an easier show, and there's no risk of death.
Yeah. Well, there are years you come to my house sometime, and you'll see some risk of death. You'll see, you know, the dangerous animals I have, my three kids.
Right.
Savage beasts they are.
Climbing the walls, literally.
Yeah.
The first episode, let's talk about a couple of the episodes. Stress is the first one, and it feels like a glorified backdoor pitch to put yourself in a Mission Impossible movie. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting. The stress one, like, I'd walk out in a beam 1,000 feet off the ground. And look, I'm not running alongside the building like Tom Cruise. But that was this was my first taste of it. And it was interesting. I went up there. My heart rate went to about 145. And they were monitoring, you know, my breath, my heart rate, so on. And through the techniques I'd learned, I was able to bring my heart rate back down to like 80. And it was just fascinating to be able to have something wildly entertaining, but also backed by science and, yeah. and see it in real time being put to use. So that was a really cool one. I mean, even prior to that actual, the beam, the walk across the skyscraper, I worked with the Special Forces in Australia, did some drown proofing exercises. And
that stuff, watching that.
Oh, it's intense. Tied my hands and feet together and threw me in a pool. And
I feel like I was watching a snuff film. I'm like, I'm literally going to watch Chris Hemsworth die in front of me.
I thought I was part of one. It's,
But is it wrong that it makes me, it's my happy place to watch you be stressed for an hour?
Hey, whatever gets you there.
That's it.
I'm here
that's
to provide
what I
that entertainment and I'll be the conduit for your happiness.
But I like it's... I think it's really interesting because the show is very intimate, very kind of revealing. Mm. Like, you know, your family's in the show and you talk about, like, it's very relatable to hear you talk about stress and, like, your idea of stress is, like, being in a restaurant with your kids melting down and people watching you, which I think any parent, any human being
can basically. Feels. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of amplified a bit if people whip out their phones and they start filming, you know. Right. I think being... You know, if I'm prepped for a situation, I'm walking on stage, I mean, there's a red carpet, an event, I'm like, okay, here we go. You know, there's a lot of energy in this experience, and I focus, and I know what I'm doing. For me, what catches me and makes me anxious is, in public situations when I'm unaware of it, and all of a sudden, well, there's a crowd of people, all of a sudden something happens, and everyone's looking, and in this episode, we talk about it, you know, it's about just coming back to your breath, and also... I think we're so used to triggering our fight or flight that we're constantly walking in a state of adrenaline when we don't need to be. And so when those things happen now, I'm like, there's not a dinosaur chasing you. There's no great threat. There's a pre-programmed thing that's occurring here, which I have to kind of back myself out of.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, we're also living in times where it feels like we're a constant threat. Like, the world's about to end in 17 different ways. So we're all going through this together in a way.
Yeah, and it does. It goes back to, many, many, many years ago and our early development as human beings of, you know, that was there for our survival. You know, the fight or flight was there so we didn't get eaten by a dinosaur and we're constantly on that. We're now in a space where we're not threatened day to day. Yet we are still triggering ourselves continuously, and due to a sort of social media, everything on there is designed to trigger a big emotion.
Yeah.
And it's really damaging. It's so detrimental to our health. And you look at sort of brain health, cardiovascular, heart disease, so on. All of these things, stress is one of the biggest influences on being taken down by one of these things. And so. Reduction of stress management, having a greater place of stillness in your life and more consistency with that, is not only with your emotional health, your mental health, but your physical health. Yeah. You know, I find my injuries play up when I'm stressed. Sure. If I haven't slept enough, or if I'm worried about something, my back starts to hurt. You know, and so it's all linked, the whole sort of kinetic chain of our system. So we need to give it all equal attention.
Well, let's apply this to your career. What's the most stressed you've been going into a job? Like the night before, where you were like, get me out of this, back me out, this is not going to work.
Well, I just finished shooting Furiosa with George Miller. It's a part of the Mad Max saga. And that often I get a script and I know from the first read, the second read, I know who the character is. And I get an instant sort of visceral kind of feeling attached to it. And I go, right, got it, right? This I had read 2 years before I started shooting and was in awe of the script. It's the most beautiful thing I've read. I love George Miller. But I didn't know who this character was. And we did about 4 weeks of rehearsals and we started digging in and diving into it. And things started coming to me. And then about 2 weeks prior to shooting, something clicked. I went, I think that's who it is. I think that's how he moves. But in the build-up, and I'm talking a couple of years, I was scared out of my mind. I'm like, I'm going to derail, you know, one of the most iconic franchises.
The most beloved.
I'm going to bring down Mad Max. It's going to be my fault.
Not in the right way.
Not in the right way. No.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say Warlord Dementis sounds like a really sweet guy.
Yeah. He's a pleasant fellow. Yeah.
We were geeking out about that. I have just talked to Anya. I'm a Miller obsessive. Fury Road is like one of the top movies I've ever seen.
One of my favorite films, yeah.
So did it live up to the experience in retrospect now? So you found the character.
Oh, mate. I think the best experience of my career. And something I'm the most proud of too. I put more work into it than anything I've ever done. And the collaboration I had with George was just beautiful, and working with Anya was incredible.
Had you ever met with George before? Were you like too young when he was looking for the new Max? Was there?
I think I asked my manager years ago about Mad Max, and then Tom Hardy had already been cast.
Got it.
And so yeah, but I'd always sort of wondered, I missed my window, and then the opportunity came, and
you found it, man. I'm so excited. All right, guys, let's talk about security, specifically VPNs. Our sponsor this week is NordVPN. By now, I hope you guys know what a VPN is. It's, of course, a virtual private network. It's a service that protects your internet connection and privacy online. It creates an encrypted tunnel for your data, protects your online identity by hiding your IP address, and allows you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. So NordVPN is the one to use because it's so easy to use. You can connect with one click or even enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. Plus, they've got over 5,200 servers in 59 countries. It's got amazing speeds. It's actually been confirmed by speed tests. NordVPN is the fastest VPN out there. You can use 6 devices on it on every major platform. I like it also because you can get movies, streaming, other content anywhere, everywhere. Don't miss your favorite content from home when traveling abroad. It just takes a click. You open the map, you click on a location, and you'll be connected in seconds. It's that easy. You can find services at a lower price, a platform maybe that isn't available in your home country. Simply change your virtual connection. The good news for you guys is we've got an exclusive NordVPN deal for you guys by going to nordvpn.com/happysad to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan, plus 4 additional months for free. That's 4 additional months for free, guys. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link, of course, is in the episode description, but go over to nordvpn.com/happysad and remember to get your discount now. Oh, look, there's another... You know, there's a really revealing, I can't remember which episode it's in, there's a revealing moment. As I said, it's an interesting show because it shows some very candid moments and you're speaking very openly, and something I wasn't aware of. Like, you talk about like getting into acting at first as a means of like getting your family out of debt, essentially.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, we all have different sort of motivations at different times, but I was in high school, you know, my parents were broke and I mean, like a lot of people though, you know, and living sort of week to week paycheck and I remember talking to my dad about when would he pay the house off, and he just sort of laughed and said, "Oh, never," you know. And I thought that's unfair, you know. Yeah. And I don't know why I felt that. I'll say financial burden. It wasn't on me, but I felt it on them as a young kid, and just wanted to you know, do something about it. I had the most wonderful childhood. They would save up all year long and work their ass off and then take us on a 2-week camping trip, you know, and that was what we did. And so that became my sort of driving force to I don't know, make some money and help out. And I looked at a million different things, but I always loved filmmaking and stories and watching films, but I didn't think of it as a career until someone said, do this acting course. And I said, oh, yeah, cool. And then I did one acting course. I'm like, I'm going to Hollywood. This is what I'm doing. And everything fell by the wayside, and that became my focus in an obsessive way. And I don't know. I think when there's something outside of yourself driving you to any success, it has a bit more substance, I think. Yes, I had my personal goals and things I wanted to achieve, but I was doing it for someone else. And it was a really interesting transition when I finally made some money and I paid my parents' house off. I went, ooh, now what, you know? And yeah. I had to...
Because I would think that's so ingrained. Like if you grew up like that and always worrying about money and seeing your parents stressed, it's like when the money comes in, it's not an immediate switch. It probably takes a while to actually...
I'm not, this is going to sound absurd, but like I have moments where I'm like, got to go, hang on. Are we okay? Like, is this going to run out? Is it all going to end? And am I going to be back to where we were? But I've always loved acting, as I said, and being a part of the process. And so I was able to fall in love with it then. Again, I think you know, and you got to find different motivations all the time because. We have goals, we achieve them, and on to the next one. And
that's why you're here on the podcast. As you know, I slip you a $50 bill at the end of this.
I said if you $75, and then you know.
Then he takes his shirt off.
Yeah, take my shirt off.
The drinking game with your projects. When is he? Oh, 6 minutes into the first episode. Yep, that's about right.
There it is. Yeah.
There's also this episode, I believe it's the one on acceptance, that is amazing. It's I don't know if you watched Nathan Fielder. It feels like a Nathan Fielder episode of his show, The Rehearsal, except with you in the center of it. It's just this amazing. Okay, so basically, Chris is experiencing what it's like to be an octogenarian and accept the end of life.
Yeah,
you're kind of like in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. You have the suit that approximates what it's like to be that old. Mm-hmm. Elsa's in there in full makeup. It's just it's so trippy. It must have been a bizarre experience.
It was bizarre and profound and wonderful. The rest of the series, each episode is quite physically challenging. There's one on memory where we navigate our way through the forest over a couple of day period and use our brains the way they should be used. This episode, as you say, acceptance of death and end of life. And the science around that states that people with a greater understanding that there is a finite conclusion to this or there is an end to this life and an acceptance of that live a longer life. They live with a greater sense of gratitude and a greater sense of, well, it's not going to last forever, make the most of it. So I was put into this immersive theater situation over 3 days in an elderly retirement village and was interacting and talking to people who were... You know, at the final years in their life, in their later years, a young lady who had stage 4 cancer. I talked to a death doula and a palliative care worker who worked in, you know, with people who were dying and helped them through that and helped them through or try to avoid some of the pain that surrounded that, but also just, again, having a greater understanding and acceptance that it is what it is. And, my wife was in it, dressed as full prosthetics. But actually, I didn't know she was going to be there. But it was kind of life changing, you know. Not often, unless you have a brush with death, or you know, I guess we go to funerals occasionally, and there's a reminder there. But to act out what my last moments would be, and actually walk through a death meditation, and then describe who I would want around, and so on, was, as I said, profound and intense, but did make me think, wow, this is an opportunity as a young guy, not as an 85-year-old going, oh, I wish I did this and this, to go, wow, this is how I want to live. I want to live with a greater state of appreciation and also just be more present and still and not run from one thing to the next and onto the next and sort of never really soak it up and you know, appreciate what's right in front of you.
It's profound watching it. I can only imagine what the experience was like. I mean, though, I will say if you're looking for the secret to immortality, you have friends. You have Paul Rudd. I'm sure you've run into Keanu. You can just ask them what they're doing, and you could have skipped this whole process.
I could have. I mean, that was speaking of movies and characters, that was Darren Aronofsky's kind of the inspiration for doing the series when he did The Fountain.
I was going to say, it's totally a theme of his work. Yeah.
Is exactly that. And Hugh Jackman has a line in it, which is, death is a disease, and I'm going to figure out or find the cure.
So, speaking of Rudd, it seems like People Magazine is now just going down the roster of sexiest of Avengers to go through the sexiest men.
Yeah. So you got to Chris Evans is scraping the barrel. Huh?
Yeah. Now it's like, what are you doing?
time, I say. What a
you were ahead of
human.
The curve. You were, I think, 2014.
Yeah, I paid the right people. Those guys spent a lot of money, but I'm telling you, in the wrong place.
Yeah, we'll suck it up. I guess he's in okay shape. We'll do it. Whatever. Rudd last year, Evans now. How bitter and angry do you think, like, Renner and Ruffalo are right now? How much are they paying their publicists?
Didn't Ruffalo get it? I thought Ruffalo did have sexiest man, no?
In your heart.
In my heart. Yeah, maybe that's
every day.
Yeah. I mean, he's in the wallpaper on my phone, so that says that.
Who's next? Do you feel like...
What about Downey?
Downey?
I mean, how did he miss? How did they skip him?
There's still time.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of stress, I feel like he's the least stressed human being on the planet. Is he like Downey? The still Zen man? Like
he's become the sort of sage Buddha, hasn't he?
Yeah. I feel like there's no one more comfortable in their own skin, and I can't relate less. Like, I don't...
I think he having, you know, to have this incredible career and all sorts of ups and downs, I think, you know, and challenges, people like that, they have...
They've come out the other side.
They've come out the other side, and it's an appreciation, you know, and only from experience, you know, and I think he's just loving every second of it, you know.
You should. I don't know if you've checked it out. The new doc about his dad is amazing.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Senior is amazing. Mm. Very. Speaking of intimate and like people in, it's remarkable.
Oh, cool.
I've heard that the text thread still exists with the Avengers.
Yeah.
Who responds first? If you sent one to the thread right now, who pops in first? Who pops in last?
Downey's pretty consistent.
Yeah.
He's there. Yeah.
You want to wake him up now?
You want to text him? Yeah, what are you all doing, guys?
Test? I did that once. I did that with. I was interviewing Mackie and Sebastian. And I said, both of you text Evans at the same time.
And see who responds.
And see who responds. He responds to you first. And he responded to Mackie first. And Sebastian's heart died.
Wow.
I watched his heart die.
Oh, I don't want to be...
You don't want to get in there?
I don't want my heart to die. Or someone else's.
Looking ahead, I know you can never spill anything on the Marvel front. But where do you go with Thor at this point? I mean, here's the conundrum I feel like you're in.
Mm.
Like, after Taika, maybe Taika comes back or not... But like, what do you do if he doesn't come back? Like, would Thor go back to dramatic?
I think,
you know,
I mean, you look at Thor 1 and 2; they were quite similar. Ragnarok, Love and Thunder, similar. I think it's about reinventing it.
Yeah.
And I think I've had such a unique opportunity, even with sort of, I mean, Infinity War and Endgame, to do very drastic things with the character. I enjoy that. You know, I like keeping people on their toes, but. It keeps me on my toes. It keeps me invested. And I've said this before, but when it becomes too familiar, I think there's a risk of getting lazy then because I know what I'm doing, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if I'm even invited back, but if I was, I think it would be it'd have to be a drastically different version.
Yeah.
Tone, everything, just my own sanity.
Yeah, you know? I hear you.
I can't tell.
Thor
lost his mind that last one. I think he's got to figure it out now.
Have you ever felt like really out on a limb with that character? Like, I would imagine, like, ironically, some of the most dramatic stuff you did was like as Fat Thor. And being in that and having to deliver these really dramatic emotional moments.
Yeah.
I'm sure on set you're like, wait, is this going to work?
You're always like, is this going to work? You know? I mean, I remember that scene where I sort of start breaking down, pitching everyone the mission and talking about, you know, my family and who died and so on. And then it just, little moments like that in your career where it just everything lines up and there was a bit of improv and so on. And I think it ended with me saying, I want a Bloody Mary to Downey. And he said to me, how do you feel? And I said, yeah, I feel, God, it's pretty special, you guys. Every now and then, a few times in your career, you have little moments where you hit the bullseye and it's like, just in that, so you're in the sweet spot. And he said, I enjoy it. And it was really, I really appreciated that because I definitely felt something special about that moment. Yeah. And, but I, who am I to judge, you know?
Right.
And so to have the Godfather lean over and say, well done, son.
You're not the type at the end of a take that you feel like you nailed. Be like, we got it, guys. Yeah. Moving on. We did
Big
it.
Big fist pump. Woo!
It's the Mackie.
Why are we still filming? Pack it up.
Yeah,
we got it.
Anthony Mackie cut the check moment, right? Are you able to keep up with everything? Because I am paid to do this, Chris, and I can barely keep up with all the Marvel stuff. Like, what percentage of all the shows have you watched?
Oh, no, nothing. No. Right? And I would love to. I saw an episode of Loki, and I thought, oh, that's cool.
You didn't watch all of Loki?
Mate, Tom's going to cry now. I've got three kids, and I'm, you know, off gallivanting around the place. And no, I haven't watched anything.
Yeah.
It's not because I don't want to. I just haven't had time.
No, I got you. Yeah. I got you. Do you watch, like, what do you watch when you have the opportunity? Like, are you a reality watcher? Do you watch with Elsa, with the family?
Peaky Blinders has been a favorite of mine. Yeah. It's wicked. I could watch Cillian Murphy all day. He's incredible.
Amazing.
What have I watched? I don't know. whatever my kids are watching.
Right.
Yeah. Which recently was Jackass. And I'm like, that's not a kid's movie. And asking all sorts of questions, which I can't answer.
Again, it's not so far off from Limitless. It's, again, putting a body through.
Yeah.
You know, Johnny Knoxville should be dead by now, too.
That's right. No, maybe that's what it is. It's testing the human potential there and how much we can suffer.
You should be in the next Jackass movie.
Yes. Then I definitely won't be doing another Thor movie unless he's in a wheelchair, because I reckon that'd break me.
And so Marvel, like, kind of realized what you were doing at a certain point. It was like, what the dude?
So initially I had the rope climb, which was a 100-foot rope dangling from a cable cart 1,000 feet off the ground between two mountains in Sydney, Australia. And the furthest I'd climbed was like, what was it? 100 feet, probably 20 feet or something. And in sort of training. And so now I'm at a 100-foot rope. I'd been training. It was supposed to be a truck pull. I'd hurt my back doing that. So we transitioned to the rope climb. My trainer said, don't get very big though, because the heavier you are, the harder it is to get up that rope. I then, in training, busted my ankle, tore the ligaments, and then Marvel stepped in and said, whoa, you can go do this crazy thing, but do it after we finish Thor, Love and Thunder. So that meant when I came back to shoot it, I was at Thor size, and my trainer said, we're screwed, mate. And so there was some technique involved, but it just became sheer will and grit and determination to get up that rope. It was like a silverback gorilla.
Right.
Just kind of going for it.
It's funny. Again, one of the more profound moments I found in the show was you talking to the elderly gentleman who had been such a physical performer earlier in his career. And like, look, you as somebody that, like, the body is very important in terms of the work that you've done. And like, that's something you probably have to think, or you need to think about. Our bodies don't last.
No, absolutely.
And that's
it's confronting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially, you know, I mean, if it's for everybody, but I don't know, just in my personal experience, it's so much of my life has been around my physicality and being able to be outside, and my happiness is so dependent on how much I can train or surf or be active. You know, confront the truth and the inevitability that it will all change and those things will be diminished at a certain point is scary. And I've had injuries over the years, and it's my whole mood changes, you know. Yeah. I fall into a state of depression if I'm like my back's down and I can't train and I can't move. And
who am I if I can't scale this mountain?
Who am I? It's more just the endorphin kick, the sort of like it's meditative for me, you know. I get out of my head and I'm into my body for that space, and you're just thinking about what's in front of you. And that is the emotional component that training gives me is equally as important as the physical. But it's I also learned to train differently now and approach things differently and with a little more sort of caution, except the series is trying to kill me outside of this. Everything else is caution. But you train smart, you know, as opposed to just kind of throwing it at the wall and everything's a flat stick. It's like, there's a better way of doing this.
So when somebody comes to you, like your good buddy Josh Horowitz, and says, okay, step one, I want to get in better shape, I want to live more healthily, food or food diet, exercise, what's step one in the Chris Hemsworth guide to
step one Figure out the purpose and the why that you want to get in shape.
I want to impress you.
You want to impress that. Me. If that'll, I don't know if that'll hold too make you for happy. Very long.
That's all I've been seeking for.
I'm already happy. I'm already proud of you. Now, but I think it's figuring, like, the anything, whether it be dietary training that you're going to adhere to, is what's or that the thing that you can stick to is the thing that's going to work. Yeah. I could give you 10 different things and you might hate all of them. You might, you know, but not want to go on this diet. You might not like running. You might not like, you know, this kind of training. So I'd say try a bunch of different things and see what you have an interest in, you know, and what works. And also keep moving. You know, the movement creates the motivation. Right. Don't sit on the couch and wait. Just know that and trust that there's not a single person on the planet that trains and so on that would tell you that once you start, you don't become addicted to it.
Yeah.
And so it should be, because you live a longer, healthier, happier life.
It sounds like I'm sure extraction too is probably a very light lift for you physically. Yeah. Is there a subtitle, by the way? Is it like extraction two, more extractions?
Yeah. Rake's not dead.
Exactly. Surprise. Yeah. Spoiler.
Oh, he's back. Too many people watched it, so we brought him back.
I know.
We were so proud that we're like, nah, we're killing him. We're killing the character. And, you know, that's it. And then they're like, there might be a sequel, though. that was crazy, that film. I don't know, as you do, it's like, what do we do now? Bigger, you know, more.
Yeah.
And we have an even longer one-er sequence in the film. We had a helicopter, you know, the moving train going at, I don't know, 40 clicks or whatever, and a helicopter landing on the train, six guys coming out, climbing down the cart into a fight with me. I go up on the top, grab a gun, I'm shooting at the helicopter that's now flying backwards in front of the train, going at full speed. It was wild. And then we had 300 extras in a sort of old boy type sequence, choreographed fight.
Speaking my language.
Yeah, it was wild. This film's, it's next level. It's cool.
Look, you know I'm a big old nerd. I'm never going to see the Star Trek movie, am I? Did you read the script? Did you like that script?
I got asked about that the other day.
You were going to come back. It was going to be almost like a buddy movie between father and son, a time travel kind of thing.
Yeah, it just wasn't. It's a few reasons, but it didn't really. It wasn't what I sort of was thinking it would have been or could have been. Okay. And I thought there'd be, you know, oh, cool, let's figure that out and keep going. And then I think everyone just got busy and so on. But
yeah.
It'd be a bit weird now to flash back to your father and why is he so much older than the first time when he died? So
at least we still have that sequence for my money is just one of the best.
We could campaign and get it going though.
Yeah, there you go. Have you read by the way, you worked with Michael Mann, obviously, on Black Hat. I've heard some people talk, and I thought of this too. I was reading the Heat sequel book that he wrote.
Oh, I didn't know he wrote a book.
You don't know about this. Yeah, so it centers on the Val Kilmer character from Heat. Chris.
Chris.
Who I have casted in my own brain and others have.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mr. Hillsworth. Cool. What do you think?
That
because he
cool.
wants to make a movie. He wants to do the Heat sequel.
Yeah. I love Michael Mann. Michael Mann has very intense shooting style. A lot of takes, long days, a lot of coverage, and he's a master at it. I kind of love my time at home with the kids, and so I'd have a serious chat and go, I'll do it, but let's do some more comfortable work hours, because I don't know, I'm at a different point in my life where doing 20 hours on a set, I don't know, I'd rather be with my kids.
He's the only, he was on the podcast, he came into my office, he comes
in. I say that with full love and respect, it's an appreciation for his stamina, which I worry if I could match it.
No, I hear it. He came into my office with a binder, Chris, of like reference material of his own work.
Amazing.
Put it on the desk as we start this like hour-long conversation. I'm like already intimidated. Yeah. I'm like, dude, this guy.
I worked with him and he was like, yeah, you know, to talk about the character. I was like, yeah, I was thinking this. And he goes, and a big binder of my backstory is there on the table. I'm like, oh, you wrote my backstory. Okay, cool. And every conversation we'd have, someone would type it up and I'd get like a transcript of it afterward. I'm like, there is this. The attention to detail is masterful and incredible. I'm looking forward to he's shooting at the moment.
He just finished it.
Ferrari.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Do you consult with the brothers on what they're doing? Did you know that Liam was going to don his crazy hair as the Witcher? What do you think of that?
Yeah.
Are you excited to make fun of that hair for the next few years?
Does he have to have that hair? I don't know.
I don't think it's a crew cut. I don't think that's possible.
No, I don't know. I haven't watched the show, and I don't know the books. Yeah, I'm stoked for him. He's kind of been itching to do something, something like that, and you know, he'll fit right in. That's cool.
It's going to be awesome. okay, in our remaining moments, I want to mention, I've been asking folks the last couple of years when we've needed comfort more than ever, in the pandemic, et cetera. Do you have a comfort movie? Like, what's the movie you turn on when?
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's a movie when I'm a little hungover, I'm just feeling down, Wedding Crashers. I've seen it. My wife's like, oh, again? I'm like, come on, it'll make us feel better.
And it always delivers,
it's
doesn't it?
It's the best, mate. It is the best. I think it's one of my favorite films.
It always works. Yeah. I support that one.
What's yours?
You know what's a weird one? I'm going to sound like a big old nerd, and this is not anyone's version. I would go Fury Road. I would go Star Trek. Kind of like big, like assured nerd movies. Mm. I was a nerd growing up. I know, big surprise.
Hey, dude, just how was I, mate? I watched, when my mates were going out on the weekends through high school, I'd just be watching movies. Not because I wanted to be an actor, because I wanted to live in, you know, Middle Earth. Yeah. Or I wanted to be in Star Wars on that planet.
Well, I remember us talking years ago, like when you were doing Huntsman, and you were like, you mentioned, I think, like Matt Mardigan. And I was like, you're speaking, I like this man.
Funny thing about Huntsman was, I thought we were making Princess Bride. And then with three of the most talented women in the business were giving Oscar-worthy performances. And I'm there giving, like, romantic comedy riffs. Hey, I was like,
anybody want to break the fourth wall?
Oops.
Chastain's like, no. I'm not doing that.
I was like,
Do you have another Limitless season in you? I mean, or is that pushing your luck? Like, they came close enough to killing you this
first
time? I don't know.
Again, I don't know. Never say never to anything. I produce this one, and if we do another one, I'll produce that. I think it might be time for someone else to come and step in and have a go.
Throw Ruffalo in there.
Yeah.
Next sexiest man alive. Man.
Or Scarlett. She'd be pretty awesome.
Oh, wait. One last thing. Hulk Hogan, still on the docket or no? Is that still being talked about?
It's still being talked about. I don't know what they're talking about, though. I know. It's like, no, I asked about it. They're like, oh, yeah, there's a script and a thing and... Todd Phillips is doing a Joker film. I mean, that one scares me in the sense of like, God, do I want to get that big? You know, it was this was the biggest I ever got, and a lot of it for Thor, and a lot of it was just I was in, you know, sort of COVID lockdown sort of scenario, treating it like prison. I was like eating and training. It was so hard to maintain and I don't know. The thought of doing that again and some, because I think he's even bigger than what I was in that film, scares me.
maybe next Thor. Look, we've done Fat Thor. We've done Jack Thor. Maybe we go just Thin Thor.
Normal Thor. I'd love that. Yeah, CGI Thor. Why does everyone else get their muscles painted on and no one's offered me that? So I'm going to...
This man's put in the hard work, guys. Yeah. Let him off. Let him just enjoy life.
Use my body from the last film.
Man, it's been so great to go on this journey with you the last dozen years. I look forward to many more conversations. You're one of the good ones, my friend. Thank you for doing the podcast, finally.
Thanks, buddy.
And my thanks to Chris. Thanks to the Paley Center for hosting this. They're amazing. And everybody should honestly check out Limitless. I'm obsessed. It's a good one, man.
Thanks, buddy.
And so ends another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. Remember to review, rate, and subscribe to this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm a big podcast person. I'm Daisy Ridley, and I definitely wasn't pressured to do this by Josh.